began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near," as we just heard in our reading from Matthew. Then, as Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting their nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him, we hear. And then, as he went from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. This Matthean version of the call of the first four disciples sets our minds in motion. As immediately as Peter, Andrew, James, and John ditched everything and took off after this unknown teacher, we begin to wonder about their stability or lack thereof. What about Zebedee? Why didn't he go? Or what did he think while he sat in the empty boat with all those fraying nets? What about the rest of their families? In other scripture, we hear of Peter's mother-in-law. Was he married at this point? Or did that happen at a later date that was somehow left out? If he was married, did his wife trail along? Or was she left at home as the sun was setting, worried out of her mind about where her husband might be? And what about the disciples themselves? They didn't check Jesus' credentials. They didn't ask if there would be any vacation time or sick leave or even personal leave days. They didn't check the retirement plan. They didn't even ask Jesus what on earth it meant to be fishers of people. And that had to be sounding a bit odd to those who were literally fishers of fish. All of this is odd, somehow off kilter. The immediacy with which these disciples dropped what they were doing is just not normal. It's not easy on our ears. It unsettles us. It's not comforting to our sense of how things should go. Decent, upstanding people don't just take off on a whim. This is not a whim. Jesus had proclaimed, "Repent, turn around, do an about face, change your life. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Follow me." And what he said, those four heard. At that moment in time, Peter, James, John, and Andrew did just what Jesus asked of them. They repented. They got out of their rut. They left their routine. They changed their way of living in the world and followed him. They didn't even ask where they were going. They followed Jesus. Who are we following? What are we following? Where are we going? Paul, in his indictment of the church in Corinth, talks about a report he's gotten from Chloe's people, those tattletales, who reported that there are quarrels between the good people in the church, people to whom they belong. None of them seems to be arguing that they solely belong to Christ. That seems to be a non-issue. The divisive issue at the time seems to be who baptized them. And this sets Paul on his ear. "You're focusing on the wrong thing," he reminds. "Who cares who baptized you? It's not about who baptized you or who gave you communion or even who the priest is. What matters is who you follow." It seems to me, Paul said, that you are not following Jesus here. If you were, this sort of trivia would not matter. This issue, unfortunately, did not go away. It was addressed later by Augustine of Hippo as the Donatist controversy. As it went, there was a question about the character of the priest in the sacraments. If, for example, there was a priest of questionable character, was the Eucharist valid? Specifically, at the time, the question was, if a priest had denied that he was a Christian during the time of persecution, and of course it would have been a he, and later recanted his denial, would the Eucharist still be valid? And again, the answer is, you're focusing on the wrong thing. The person of the priest is not important. It's not about who's celebrating the Eucharist or who's baptizing you into the body of Christ. It's about what's being done, not who is doing it. You do not belong to Paul or Apollos or Cephas or Tom or Eddie or Robert or Lee. Or do you? Who do you follow? What do you follow? Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Follow me. So what does that mean, follow me? I'm not sitting in a boat catching fish all day. I'm not about to get up and leave my job, my family, my obligations. That would not be good. And that, again, would be focusing on the wrong thing. Maybe. Jesus said, repent. Turn around. Change your life. Let go of those things that keep you from following me, from putting me first. Maybe your job forces you to act in ways that are not Christ-like. Repent. Maybe you hedge a little here, fudge a little there on your taxes. Repent. Maybe you're not modeling the love of God for your family. Repent. Maybe being upwardly mobile or holding on tightly to your hard-earned money is the way in the way of your following Christ. Repent. Each and every one of us knows what it is that keeps us from following Christ entirely and entering fully into the kingdom of God. There is no time like the present. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Jesus said, follow me. Amen.